Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I'm very excited. Today we're going to finish this series called Soundtracks and A New Rhythm to a New Life. A new rhythm. Everybody say rhythm. I've been teaching you. I've never taught in 30 years on the Sabbath, ever. And I think God is trying to say something to us. I've preached the last 3 weeks, and I'll catch you up in case you missed the last three. But I want to make sure that you understand that when the preacher, pastor, preaches something, you're supposed to receive something. I'm not preaching because it's my job to do it. I'm preaching to get you somewhere. Are y'all with me? So when you come in and you hear something, you ought to be going, Holy Spirit, what is it you're trying to say to me? I may not always say the right words, but I also believe in the supernatural hearing, that I may say one thing, but the Holy Spirit, by the time the sound waves get out to you, he may bend them just a little bit so you hear what you need to hear. Are y'all tracking with me? You've come to meet with God today. He's going to speak to you, and then there is an expectation that you're going to take that truth, apply it to your life, and see if the results don't move you closer to him and closer to what you really want to. Are y'all with me? So just say, well, tell it to me, Pastor. Yeah, so I'm trying. So over the last 3 weeks, again, I've never taught on Sabbath. And everybody say Sabbath. I want you to take that word because I want you to put that in. That's words we normally don't use. We use words like a day off. I want you to recapture that word again. Put it back into your vocabulary and go, hey, I've got a Sabbath coming up. And I'm going to talk to you practically today. I want to end and get real, real practical on how to do that. This series was birthed out of 3 months ago. Our senior pastor, Pastor Jacob Aranza, saying, I want 2020 to be the year of health. I want our lead pastors to be healthy. Lead pastors, you make sure your staff is healthy. And then staff, I want you to turn around, make sure the dream team and leaders are healthy. And then if we can, how many know dream team leaders, make sure our teams are healthy, make sure our church is healthy. Because everything that's healthy grows. And so this was birthed out of that. I want to go ahead and confess. The word of God is a double-edged sword. That's what the Bible says about itself. Which means there's two edges to the sword. There's a sword that's going out, an edge to you. I'm preaching to you. There's an edge. But how many know there's also an edge that comes back at me? So when I've been preparing these messages, I've said to myself, Lord, I haven't done well. 30 years, I haven't done good. I see, Lord, where I didn't protect this. I didn't watch over it. I didn't Sabbath like you asked me to Sabbath. And now I see seasons of my life where I burned out. Sometimes I almost fouled out. I mean, I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And as I look back, how many know it's a lot easier to see God looking backwards? As I look back, this is one of the disciplines that I did not put into my life. And so one of our sisters earlier in between services said, Pastor, I've been practicing Sabbath for 30 years. And I said, well, I'm committing to practice Sabbath for my next 30 years. So I want you to receive this. And are y'all with me? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and jump into today. I'm going to help you. Please, 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 please take what I'm saying to you, apply it to your life, and I promise you, it'll make a difference. And let's talk about that right now. Let's give Christopher a big hand. He's filling in for Vic. Thanks, Chris. Now, when I call for Chris at the end or Vic, that means you come back. Okay, all right, good. Okay. Give Chris a hand. We appreciate it. Young men. Let me just catch up. How many of you missed a couple of these weeks? You were gone or whatever. You missed anybody? Miss anybody? How many? Let me ask you this. How many have been at all last three? Let me see your hands. Oh, that's pretty good. All right, great. Let me just remind you. We talked about number one. It's a commandment. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So sometimes we treat it like a suggestion. In fact, God was so serious about that commandment that he actually gave a penalty for breaking it. In fact, he said the same penalty for committing murder was the same penalty for breaking the Sabbath. He was serious about it. In fact, he let Israel know that not only was he serious about it, not only was it a commandment, but that it would cause you to be a witness to the world. That if you kept a Sabbath. I told you during week one that we do have an epidemic in America. 48% of Americans, that's half this room today, half of you in the room today would probably say you have an addiction that's more powerful than drugs or alcohol. But we clothe it in something positive. We call it workaholic. Got real quiet all of a sudden, didn't it? That means half of you, that you don't do good. You're a doer. You got to keep working. Keep at it. In fact, we have a culture of busyness. We're busy. We're just too busy. Busy, busy, busy. You know, you talk to people. I mean, your grandma calls you and says, "Well, baby, when y'all gonna come see me?" And you go, "Oh, mama, we just been so busy, 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 busy." In fact, we think if we're not busy, then we're a loser. Like it's not that big a deal. And so we have this epidemic going on in our culture. God's going to answer that. Don't forget where this commandment came from. This commandment came as Israel was coming out of Egypt. What were they when they were in Egypt? Slaves. They worked 7 days a week all the time. In fact, even when they didn't have, weren't doing that well, Pharaoh would even take away straw and then put more bricks on them to make, even though he took the straw away. And he made them work continually. And now God's going to go, no, I'm going to give you a new rhythm. I want to give you a new rhythm, and this is going to be the rhythm. I want you to work 6 days, but then I want you to take a Sabbath, say Sabbath. I want you to take a Sabbath on the seventh day. So the rhythm would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, you got it, all right, here we go. In fact, God was so serious about it, he actually gave them a metaphor that they could look out and watch every season. And here's what the metaphor was. He said, not only do I want you to work 6 days and rest on the seventh, but I also want you to do the same thing with the crops, your land. I want you to plant those crops 6 years in a row, take the produce of the crops for your livelihood, but on the seventh year, I want you to let it rest. I don't want you to plant the crops. I don't want you to toil over it anymore. I'm not a big farmer. Well, I'm not even a little farmer, to be honest. But I have to drive by a farm to get to my house. Several farms. So I've watched it. I watched him grow crops, the farmer, and I know him. I watched him grow, and then I called him one day and go, "Hey, are you going to replant?" He goes, "No, I'm going to let it lay dormant." Well, something happened to that crop, even though he didn't work it. It actually grew another crop. That's what God told Israel to do on the seventh year. Let the secondary crop grow, and then he said, here's what I want you to do with it. Don't harvest it. Let the poor come and harvest, and then let the beast of the field go in it and let them eat. Now, I don't know if you know this, but this is what happens. Let me help y'all, all right? In my pharmaceutical wisdom. Is that a word? Pharmaceutical. Yeah, wrong word, but it is a word. Okay, anyway. Pharmaceutical. But here's what I do know. Did you know that when a beast of the field, let's just say a cow or a sheep, goes into a field and eats, when he eats it, it goes down his throat and into a stomach. And inside of that stomach, it breaks down the stuff that he ate. And then something happens with the stuff that's in the stomach. A tail will raise. Y'all know what's coming, right? I don't have to go any further than that, right? Then it will come out of the cow and it will go onto the ground. What do we call that? Fertilizer. Somebody said poo-poo. Anyway. So even in the year of rest, God was providing a way to replenish or replace the nutrients in the ground so that when the next year would come, it would be ready to go and produce even more than it did the previous year. So you see, he's given you this picture of Sabbath saying, look. If you'll work, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then if you'll rest, he'll fertilize you in a weird kind of way. He'll replenish all the energy, the grace. He'll replenish the mercy. He'll replenish you. And if you let him replenish you, means you'll have grace for your husband. If you let him replenish you, you'll have grace for them kids. If you'll let him finish you, you'll have grace for your ex-husband. If you'll let him replenish you, when you come into the house of God, you'll have grace for your brothers and sisters. And some of you need grace. So he wasn't playing with it. In fact, I even told you, you know, Israel didn't obey. They didn't obey. 490 years. You know why? Because they thought if crops were good in 6, then we'll go ahead and do number 7 too, because they wanted something. You know what they wanted, didn't you? More. This may be the very reason why some of you won't take this word seriously. Because you want more. The promise that God was trying to get across to us, if you'll trust me in this, you'll produce more what you want in 6 days than you will in 7. Your crops will produce more in 6 years than if you planted them every 7. Are you with me? I'll check them and say, that's good, I'm talking to you. All right? So I want you to hear that. So we told you that there was an epidemic. I told you about that, the land. Here's the principle. God will produce more in 6 than you can ever do in 7. And then we also talked, the second week I talked to you about, what does God replenish? And I told you, you had 4 tanks, a spiritual, a physical, emotional, a mental tank to reset yourself and let God. I'm going to get practical in just a moment. And then last week, Heidi did a fantastic job last week on week 3. How many of y'all were here last week? Look, give her a hand. She's not here. I'll tell her. She did amazing. Remember, she said, you got to know when to say enough, right? You got to get down to that end of that day, and you got to say, that's enough work. I don't know about y'all, but here's my age. Today, we have our electronics, and we keep our calendars and everything on our electric. But back in the day, I used to carry a day planner. Anybody remember those? A Franklin Covey day planner. Yeah, if you know what that is, you're old. And you would have a to-do list, and I would fill out each day. And then I would, at the end of the day, if you didn't complete your task, you would draw an arrow, which meant you the next day, you would add it to the next day's list. And then if you didn't complete that list, then you'd put an arrow to the next day's list. And I would get so mad because I would try to complete my list every day, and then I figured out something after about 2 years of drawing arrows, that the work will never get finished, that you're always going to put an arrow to the next day. And that's what Heidi was talking about last week. You got to know when enough is enough, and you go, I'm shutting it down. And you shut it down for the day, and you go back, and you go, it's good. It's good. And then she also talked about how to carry your yoke, which, by the way, that scripture was talking about a Sabbath. How to carry the right yoke. And then she said last week, she said, know to whom you're working for. You work for God. You thought it was that devil boss that you got. You don't work for the devil boss. You work for God. And so she did that. And I want to get practical this week because I've been asked some very, very serious questions out in the foyer. And here's what the questions were. The most frequently asked question about Sabbath was, Pastor Yu, what day should be the Sabbath? Should it be Saturday? Because that would be day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th day. Or Pastor Yu, should it be Sunday? And those are all great questions. I'm going to help you in just a second. And then here was another unique question I got was, Pastor Yu, I got a question about Sabbath. Can I ride my four-wheeler on Sabbath? That's a serious question. If you live in Ville Platte, that is a serious, serious. Do we have any Ville Platians here? Yeah. I know you've been waiting for that answer. You're going to hear it in just a moment. Let's go look at, I'm going to answer those questions here in a moment. Let's go look at Jesus and what he had to say about Sabbath. So I gave you the Old Testament. Let me make sure you get the New Testament. I'm going to take you to the book of Matthew chapter 12. And by the way, there's a tendency in all of us, when we hear truth, we usually gravitate one way or the other. We'll either gravitate to hearing truth and adding to it, which was the Pharisees' problem in the Bible. There were 613 Old Testament laws. Well, they came up with about 1,500 different man-made laws and traditions to keep them from to keep the 613 laws. So we all have a tendency to add to it. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Can I ride my four-wheeler? And then there's also the other side is we could hear something and we don't pay enough attention to it. And so I know there's those two people in the room. So I want you to listen. Let's go see what Jesus had to say about it. And let's go to Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1. Follow along with me in your Bibles or on the screen. At about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some of the heads of grain, and they were eating them. But some Pharisees saw them do it and protested. Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath. Remember when you were in grade school, that one student in your class that would go, teacher, Eugene's not doing his assignment. Yeah, that's this guy. And if you were that person, God forgive you, repent. Watch this. Look, your disciples are breaking the law. They're harvesting grain on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to them, watch this, the gall, the audacity of Jesus. Haven't you read in scriptures what David did? When he and his companions were hungry, he went into the house of God, he and his companions, and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only priests are allowed to eat. The audacity of Jesus comparing himself to King David. By the way, you remember where Jesus was from, right? They said Nazareth. They would say about Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? In other words, it was backwoods, podunk. It'd be like Jesus is from Port Barry. No, I'm teasing. That was a joke. Poor Barry. I meant Lafayette. The audacity. But he goes on. This ain't enough. Jesus is going to throw it down again. Watch this. He goes, that's what David did. We're doing what David did, the king. And haven't you read, verse 5, in the law of Moses that the priest on duty in the temple may work on Sabbath? I tell you, there was one here who is even greater than the temple. Oh, now, do you remember? Solomon built a temple to house the presence of God. He's saying, I'm more important than David, and I'm even greater than the temple, the place that housed God. Whew. You know what the problem with Jesus was? He walked around acting like he was God. Some of you will get that later as you drive home. Watch this. He goes on. He ain't done yet. Watch this. But you would now have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of Scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. Watch this. For the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. You Pharisees are looking for Messiah. David did it. I'm greater than the temple. I am the Son of Man and the Lord, the Messiah. You looking for Messiah? Ta-da! I'm it. Look at, I'd rather you show mercy. I said something in the 8:30 that I kind of doubted whether I should say it. And after I said it in the 8:30, or the 8:30, and when you say something in the 8:30, you get a trial run. If I mess up in the 8:30, I can fix it before I come to y'all, right? And by 11:30, it's really good. And so I jumped out. I took a risk. I said, I'm going to go ahead and say it. And then I asked them, should I tell the 9:30? They're like, tell them. Look at me. Man, Pastor, this is a conversation Pastor Nick and I had together. Talking about showing mercy instead of sacrifice. Can y'all handle this? Prejudice is still alive and well. Now listen to me. It's not just black and white. And I don't want you to get hung up on that. That's a big one. It's in our face. But there's gender prejudice. Male, female. There's age prejudice, young, old. I appreciated the worship team today doing that. God is so good. God is so good. How many of y'all remember that song? Y'all were singing it. I could hear you. You old. How many of you know we got to remember, we got old folks too. Seasoned veterans. I appreciate, there's young, there's old. There's rich, there's poor. There's class prejudice, there's denominational prejudice, religious prejudice. It's all alive and well. By the way, do you know prejudice is not an American invention. Prejudice was here all the way back in the book of Genesis. It's been a playbook of the enemy forever to bring division among God's people. He's always trying to divide. That's why in John chapter 17, Jesus' last prayer, if you read John chapter 17, this is basically what he's saying. Lord, please let them walk together in unity. Because if we're walking together in unity, that gives you, if that's his prayer, what do you think the enemy's opposite of unity is? Division. So he's working at it. And so Pastor Nick and I were talking about this. I go, you know what? I'm okay. You know, we're doing okay. The dream is not to have people of different race, gender, class, age come to church together. Do you realize we can come to church together and still be as divided as the rest of the world? But it's to build unity together. That we would have mercy for one another and grace for one another. This is what he's saying to. He said, look, you think I want you to have a Sabbath because it's a sacrifice. I don't want you to have a Sabbath because it's a sacrifice. I want you to have a Sabbath so I can pour back into you grace, mercy, love, long-suffering, patience, kindness, joy, so you can share that with one another. Are y'all with me? So look at me. I don't want you to come to church together. I want you to go out to eat together. I don't want you to just come to church together. I want you to have coffee together out there and pray for one another. I want you to show mercy to one another. I want you to show grace to one another. Are y'all hearing me? Watch this. It goes on. Watch this. Show mercy, not offer sacrifices. The Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath. Then Jesus goes, watch this. Then Jesus says, goes over into the synagogue. Same day. where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. The Pharisee asked Jesus, "Does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath?" They were hoping he would say yes, so they could bring charges against him. And he answered, "If you had a sheep that fell into the well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you go work to pull it out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." And so the man held out his hand, and it was restored just like the other one. And then the Pharisees repented and said, "You are truly the Lord." That's not what happened, is it? Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how to kill Jesus. So they were watching over the Sabbath, trying to see Jesus for breaking the Sabbath. And now that Jesus proved that the Sabbath was not broken, that you can do good, now they decided to switch to another one, and they're going to break that one, "Thou shalt not murder." Watch what happens. Look at Mark chapter 2 and 27, same story, but different account in the gospel. Then Jesus said to them, look at me, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." Wow, what a God. That he wanted you to set aside a day. We'll talk about it in just a second. But to give you the opportunity to have a Sabbath, because he wanted it to meet your needs, not you meet the needs of it. Now watch this. Heidi and I've told you we've gone to Israel and actually went to a Sabbath dinner at a Jewish family's home. They invited some of us to come, about 15 of us or so, 12 of us, asked us to come to their home. So we showed up at their house. They lived in a 20-story apartment building, 20 stories. They lived on floor 12. It's Sabbath. I've already told you the elevators don't work on Sabbath because they believe that if you push the button, that's working. So we get there, and they said, "This is Sabbath, so the elevators, we discourage you using the elevators because you got to, it's Sabbath." And so, if you have any ailments or anything like that, then 12 flights of stairs, if you can't do that, then you're welcome to take the elevator. And so, we're there, and this is pre-knee surgery. Heidi had a knee replacement, so her knee was bad. It was hurting. And so I said, "Baby, your knee is bad. We don't need to walk up." I was looking out for her. I said, "We really don't need." She goes, "No, well, you can. You can go ahead and walk up. I'll just take the elevator." I go, "No, baby. I need to be with you. I don't want you having to take that elevator. I don't want you to work by yourself. Let me do the work." So I rode the elevator with her. Because I did the math. I was like, work. This seems like less work than, are y'all with me? Is it just me? 12 flights of stairs work or push button work, which one seemed less and would be more honoring on the Sabbath? I figured it'd be that one. We get off that elevator and we waited because we got up there fast, and we waited for the rest of our group. They come off going, "Man, I can't believe y'all are working on the Sabbath." We go, "Yeah, I know. It's terrible, isn't it?" What does remember the Sabbath and keep it holy really mean? So I want to help you in a practical way. I want to give you three thoughts today, just real quick, of what you should do. Number one, let me give you the first thought. Number one, holy means to set something apart. So I want you to do that with me today. I want you to take a day, and I want you to set it apart to make it holy. Now, what do you mean make it? That just means set it apart. I mean, it has its own importance. I want you to set it apart. I want you to use this word. I would normally use this word. the past 30 years. That's my day off. Instead of calling it what it really is, I think names mean things. It reminds you of what it's for, that I'm going to set a day that will be a Sabbath for me. A Sabbath. To do what? To rest. To replenish. To refuel. It's a different day. It has a purpose. I'm going to go ahead and name it. You go, well, is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Everybody look right here. We live in a world today that shift work, people on, off, oil field workers on, off, schedule changes, those kinds of things. I don't think it's the letter of the law. I think it's the spirit of the law that you would find a day that works for you and you say, this day is our Sabbath. We're going to set that aside to rest, to replenish, and to refresh and set it apart. Will you do that? Will you just take a day? Listen, you don't have to do what I'm telling you to do. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to tell you the truth, to set apart a day, to go, you know what, that's going to be the day that I rest. And then secondly, I think this is number two, Chris is going to help me. Not only do I think you need to set it apart, then I think you need to protect it. That you would put a fence around it, that you'd put a lock on the gate. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a Sabbath? Sabbath means to cease from your labor. For me, that means not check my emails. That means put my phone aside. I may check it because how many of you know one of my sheep may be stuck in a well? And if they are, I need to get them out. But I don't have to carry it with me like I normally do. I can just check it periodically to make sure everything is okay. I don't know about you, but when I pick up my phone and just my screensaver is there and not my notifications come up, I usually go, hallelujah. Are y'all tracking with me? It's simply saying we're going to set this aside today. I've already told you, what do you do on that day? What replenishes you? What refreshes you? Lock it. Put it. Delight in God. Delight in family. And then let me give you number three. It's real simple. I think you ought to honor it. Everybody look right here. Everybody say honor. Honor isn't really honor until it comes out of your mouth. You can say, I honor. No, it's... Honor is not something that stays inside of you because honor has to be expressed. This is dead serious. One of our guys goes, Pastor, you serious about Sabbath? I mean, and he asked me, can I ride my four-wheeler on Sabbath? I said, yeah. Does it refresh you? Oh, I like that four-wheeler. I said, ride on. But it is important that you honor. What does that mean? Lord, thank you for my four-wheeler. Lord, thank you as you're driving through and the wind's in your face. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given me. Thank you, God. Thank you. As you're hanging out with your friends, riding four-wheelers. Go, Lord, thank you for my friends. Lord, I just honor you today. Whatever replenishes you. For some of you, it's a nap. Did that sound good? A nap? Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. Thank you, thank you. A nap. For some of you, it may be to watch a movie with your family. Go, come on in here, y'all. Let's laugh. That's a funny movie. That's so funny. Whatever replenishes you and refreshes you, he said, I want you to find this new rhythm. Look at me. Looking back over 30 years, there's a reason why I burned out. I wasn't Sabbathing. I wasn't replenishing. I wasn't refreshing. And at some point, everybody hits the wall. If you're not looking forward to the next week, it may be that we're just not living by the rhythm that God expected us to live by. So when you get on that four-wheeler on Sabbath, Lord, I thank you for my four-wheeler. I thank you. I thank you for this beautiful day and the field you gave me to ride in. And thank you for an incredible pastor who taught me how to enjoy my four-wheeler on my day of Sabbath. And Lord, I need to let my pastor borrow this four-wheeler so he can feel the same thing I feel right now. That cool wind blowing in my face is like refreshing to me. My pastor probably needs to borrow this four-wheeler. I believe he does. The Lord just spoke to me. Listen, I don't want you to get religious. We're not talking about getting religious. There's going to be things. Sheep get stuck in the mud, ox in the mud. Your kids are going to need you, and you're going to go, But next week, I'm going to keep it there. I'm going to protect it and watch over it. Husbands, look, if you just, honey, let's set a day aside. Let's Sabbath. What replenishes you? Oh, I just like it when we walk. Okay, we're going to walk. You replenish her, she'll replenish you. It's called Sabbath. It's a rhythm that God put so that we would be healthy for the long run. This is the year of health. You receive this word today? You got to do something with it. Don't walk out of here, because I'll come visit you. You're going to get your rest. You'll probably be in the hospital. You'll get it. You're going to get it. Everybody comes to the end when the tank's empty. Let God refuel you and refresh you with Sabbath. Do you receive this word today? Let me pray for you right now. Father, we do. We receive your word today. Would you just lift your hands to heaven like this? Lord, we need Sabbath. Lord, you said you would come and you would restore, refresh, replenish us. Just by creating a boundary and locking the door on it and say, this is our day to rest. And God, I ask that you would show up, show yourself strong as we honor you on that day by giving you gratitude and thanks for all that you have done, that Lord, you would draw near. It's funny, Lord, how whenever we honor you, you always come closer. And so, Father, that's my prayer. Lord, you are the Lord of the Sabbath. And Lord, that you would show up mightily on behalf of your people. With every head bowed and eye closed, Christians, would you begin to pray? Because there's some among us here that have never entered rest. You know one of the names of Jesus? Would he be called the Prince of Peace? And maybe you're here today and you've been far from God, you've been running from God. Maybe today you even came in this room and hear us talking about Sabbath and rest, and you go, oh, if I could only find it. In fact, you've tried to fill your life up with everything and never found it, because it's a person. It's not a thing. His name is Jesus. He said, you can't enter the kingdom, this rest. You can't see the kingdom, this rest, this peace, unless you've been born again. You have to be born again. Yo, Pastor, you, how do I get born again? It's as easy as A, B, and C. Admit you're a sinner. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I put those 10 commandments up there the other day. All of us had to confess that we broke them. Well, what's the penalty? The penalty is eternal separation from God, a place called hell. But B, thank God for B. Believe that Jesus came and lived a sinless life that you and I could never live, and died on the cross to pay for our sins. In other words, he paid our debt for us so that we wouldn't be guilty or shameful anymore. That's why he loves you. That's how much he loves you. And then C, confess him as Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you're ready to be born again, this is your invitation to give your life to Jesus, to be born again. I want to pray for you. All I ask, no one looking but me, Would you just lift your hand up high right now and say, Pastor, you remember me. I want to be born again today. Would you hold it up high? Don't be ashamed. All over the room. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. One and two and three. Hold up high. Four. Thank you. Five. I see your hand. Six and seven. Eight and nine. 10, 11, 12, and 13, and 14, and 15. I see your hands. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 20 hands. Congregation, let's add our voice to theirs. Add our faith with theirs. Let's say this together. Pray this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Let's declare this. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God all the praise for that. Love y'all.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.